Jackson trying to escape and run for it, and he's got it more. Lamar Jackson down the sideline. Will they give it to him? They will. Touchdown, Baltimore.
And with 1:17 left to play on Wild Card Weekend, the Hayes in the Barn.
Oh my God! I wish you guys could. I wish we had a camera in here so you could see what we're doing. We're just a bunch of clowns in here.
How much fun is that?
All right, welcome on back to another edition of the Baltimore Beatdown Podcast. It is the night of Sunday, December 5th, 2021, morning of December 6th, 2021, if you are listening on Monday. My name is Jake Luke, and I'm joined by Spencer Nathaniel Schultz after the old cowboy, old John Wayne. He got that Winchester repeater out, and he defended the town against the invaders. And wow, what a performance by Ben Roethlisberger. It just brings a tear to your eye. The old cowboy laces up the six-shooter again, and he just goes out and defends the town people as Renegade is playing in the background, and Cam Hayward and all the, you know, these great heroes of the Steel City just, you know, do everything they can to keep the invaders out and the good guys win and go to, what are they now, 6-5-1?
6-5-1. The Ravens move down to 8-4. They will be in second place in the AFC. Unless, I believe, the Patriots and Bills tie, I think, then they would be in third. I don't know. They'll be in second or third place. Something along those lines. Ravens couldn't get it done. It was just, if you told me, there could be some factors missing, but if when I was about, I want to say about 16 or 17 years old, and a shaman or some sort of great future-seeking fortune teller came and told me, Ravens and Steelers will play Ben Roethlisberger's final game in Heinz Field in the year 2021. He will not be able to run or jog. He won't be able to throw the ball with any velocity, but the Steelers will win by 1 point at the end of the game after scoring 17 points in the fourth quarter to after Ben announces that he's all of a sudden going to retire after this year, right before the Ravens game. Just unbelievable. Since we recorded our preview, Ben goes, I'm gonna make it seem like I'm not leaking it, but yeah, I'm just gonna privately tell a few friends and family that I might be retiring this year.
Yeah, I'm gonna go and tell Ryan Clark, who has the biggest mouth in the world and who also works for ESPN. And you know who else works for ESPN? Our boy Shefty. Who could have seen that coming?
Truly couldn't see it coming at all. And just a masterclass in like theatric cinema of professional football, of what has transpired in the last, honestly, as a Ravens fan, 4 months, 3 months, 4 months, as a football fan overall this season, the hashtag asterisk parody, end quote, asterisk, hashtag, smiley face emoji, licking emoji, that has happened, all this shit that's going on, even the build up to this game. The Browns are on a bye. It goes Ravens by Ravens. The Chargers blow the doors off the Bengals. The Bengals come storming back like a kraken in the fucking sea and get within 2 points, only for the Chargers to shut the door. The Ravens open the game, drive all the way down the field. Like everything that's happened has just been like, Tarantino, do something and make it a little bit, throw some feet in there, you know, throw some mac and cheese and coffee in there and get together with Marlon Humphrey and make a movie. That's
those two, those two in a room together. I don't know if the world can handle that.
I could see Marlon in a Samuel L. Jackson-esque Tarantino role.
Honestly, Marlon, he wouldn't be the worst. I know this doesn't really happen anymore because athletes don't need to do this, but Marlon could make the transition to actor if he wanted to.
He definitely could. He's got the boot barn thing. Does have a little bit of an oblong head, but they can definitely shoot.
I think he's a good looking guy. I think he's charismatic in his own way. And I think he could command a screen. And I think Quentin Tarantino, I mean, listen, he's found usage for lots of different people in lots of different roles. And I think it could, you know, this could work pretty well. And of course, this is what we're discussing 4 minutes into a podcast recap after the Ravens do in fact fall to the Steelers. What the final score wound up being, 20-19 in Pittsburgh. Tough one.
20-19 in Pittsburgh.
Obviously, for a lot of reasons, I think the main takeaway that everyone is going to have after that, heading out of the game, is John Harbaugh's decision to go for two after they score what could have been a game-tying touchdown there. It makes it 20-19. They trot him out there to try and go for two and win it. That's kind of probably your headline story. Another story to take a look at is the poor play of the offense, again, for probably the fourth game in a row. I think you could comfortably say they looked awful for much of the game, and they had a 99-yard drive for a touchdown. They had a drive for a touchdown at the end, obviously, to tie it up there, as we mentioned, but just more of the same issues on that side of the ball. Lamar Jackson, another tough game, another interception. He has 14 now in the year, I think, maybe 13. So he's, you know, been trending in the wrong direction for a couple weeks now. And ultimately, just kind of felt like an old-school AFC North game once again for a second week in a row. But I think we had kind of gotten used to not really seeing that with the offensive revolution that we've seen here in the last couple of years. But there was something familiar about it. There was something familiar about the fact that no matter where the Steelers are in the standings, no matter where the Ravens are, how far they think they've pulled away, there was something to going into the fourth quarter, renegade plays, and it's, you know, it's nut cutting time, as Jerry Jones would say. So it felt familiar in that regard. I'm not totally shocked by this loss. I wouldn't say that necessarily. But what my main takeaway, my concern would be the poor play of the offense. I'm not concerned at all about that decision to go for the two. I 100% do that every single time. I've talked about this ad nauseum on Twitter. I will mention it right now. I'm glad to have a head coach that does that. Maybe not everyone agrees, but I don't know. I like the idea of going for it and believing in your players. And it didn't work out. But yeah, I think for me, ultimately, the other headline that we have to discuss here is, in fact, the Marlon Humphrey injury. He's going to be out for the year with a shoulder injury, pec injury. Both have kind of been reported here. So we'll see what happens with that. But ultimately, you're left in kind of a tough spot. They're 8-4, which is still fine, but it's going to be a tough stretch run of games here. And I don't blame anyone for having some negative thoughts after the performance from the offense today.
Certainly not. The Ravens open the game and take the ball and have a 7.5-minute drive, I believe, which is capped off by a forced interception. It gets to the point where the Ravens start at their own 25. As we have sort of alluded to, they're unable to hit the big play, which has plagued them lately. They've been forced, and defenses have boxed the Ravens into making a lot more going on longer drives and having to sustain success. And that's what we heard the narrative on the Chiefs be a couple months ago, playing it a little conservative. You know, the Ravens don't have a ton of juice in the backfield, even though Devontae Freeman, I thought, played outstanding today overall for the most part. But so the Ravens drive down and they get a first down where Devontae Freeman rips off a 18-yard run. We talked about explosive runs being an issue. I wrote an article about that where, you know, maybe we see some Devin Duvernay. And guess what? On that opening drive, we do see Devin Duvernay to the left end, called back on an illegal shift, one of the many penalties that the Ravens were called for offensively pre-snap. And then they are able to reel off that 18-yard run. They're on the Pittsburgh 14. Lamar Jackson takes a sack and makes it 2nd and 19. Then there is a delay of game, so they double down on stupid after Lamar Jackson continues to struggle to commit to getting the ball out, throwing the ball away, or running. And so it doubles down on stupid. They go from 1st and 10 on the 14 to 2nd and 24 on the Pittsburgh 28. They have an explosive gain to Latavius Murray, who made a couple nice plays in the pass game underneath in the first half. Gains 18 yards, gets back to the Pittsburgh 10, 3rd and 6. Lamar Jackson drifting, throws up an absolute lollipop. And Minkah Fitzpatrick, of course, intercepts it. Of course, it was targeting Mark Andrews. Lamar Jackson started there, I would say, with that sack that he took on 1st and 10, and then doubled down into an interception, and then just continued to struggle with where to go to eat. He is playing right now like, you know, your mythology or your metaphoric girlfriend who just, where do you want to go to eat? I don't know. Do you want to throw the ball away? I don't know. Do you want to try to scramble? I don't know. Do you want to try to get the ball out early? I don't know. Do you want to hold the ball? I don't know. He has continued to be indecisive. And again, it is a recurring issue that we saw last year. And the answer last year was to really lean into the run game. Are there offensive line issues? Absolutely. The Ravens come down the next drive after getting a 3-and-out from Pittsburgh. Lamar Jackson takes a sack on 2nd and 5 for 2 yards, trying to weave his way through. It turns into 3rd and 7. They're able to convert out of that one. They string together another drive, which also has another pre-snap penalty. TJ Watt gets the Ravens out of a 2nd and 15 there on sportsmanlike conduct. They convert on 3rd down, you know, and eventually are able to go all the way down despite another false start on Ben Powers. I think it was 2 pre-snap penalties that drive, 3 through 2 drives, punch the ball in. They go 99 yards after a great punt. And from there, it felt like they were going to be able to get out of that rut, and they couldn't. Lamar Jackson continued to take another 5 sacks throughout the game. And a lot to talk about what happened throughout the game. But like you said, Jake, offensively, this team has struggled to play with any decisiveness in the pass game and any consistent decisiveness. The interception was awful. And I think you can leave it at that pretty much. I said on Twitter, they've been losing, you know, Lamar has been losing a lot of wars and, or excuse me, reluctant to lose battles to win wars, reluctant to throw the ball away or mitigate loss. And it's bit the Ravens in the ass. I think they end up in the first half holding the ball for 25 minutes, just about coming away with 10 points there. And it felt like, okay, you know, they'll be able to overcome their demons. They did not. So, you know, it just was unbelievable. The Ravens defense completely stifled the Steelers in the first half. I think they held the Steelers to 13 yards rushing. Najee Harris, 5 carries for 13 yards. Ben Roethlisberger, 8 of 13 for 80 yards. The Steelers squeak out a field goal. And it felt like, all right, the Ravens, you know, are the better team here. They're playing their hearts out. And then all hell broke loose.
Yeah. And I mean, I think ultimately, it does come down to Lamar for a lot of different reasons. Just poor play on his part to all the reasons you've mentioned. And I do think it's the sacks and the turnovers that kill you. There's a clip of Bill Belichick talking to Matt Cassel in 2008. Don't fret about incomplete passes. Don't worry about penalties. It's sacks and turnovers that kill you every single time. And I think he's 100% right. And I think that is 100% right when you look at the fact that what was the point differential in this game? What wound up being the difference? 1 point. You throw the ball just up. You say that you saw Minka Fitzpatrick and you thought you had the velocity to get it to Andrews anyway. Well, maybe that's true. Maybe it's not, but you didn't. Minka Fitzpatrick picks that off. Well, there goes a field goal. Game comes down to 1 point. You can't afford to make stupid, costly turnovers in this game, and that's what he did. The sacks, I can kind of live with, okay? I can kind of live with that because this offensive line is just really bad, and he feels like he has to adjust to that on the fly. I get it. Some of them he's taking unnecessarily. There were a couple others. TJ Watt, fucking unblockable in this game. You know who else is unblockable? Chris Wormley, who makes it a point to talk about how disrespected he feels by the Ravens at every freaking turn when this game comes up. Okay, man, like, cool. Like, you win. Great. And it's tough when the offense is in the state that it's in, but we've also seen them at their potential and hitting their stride when they're spreading the ball around, when they're getting it out quickly, and they just didn't do that in this game. It felt like more of the same, more of Lamar forcing the ball to Mark Andrews when it's frankly not there, and that is fully encapsulated by the interception in the end zone and then kind of by the 2-point play. I get that you want to draw it up for your best pass catcher, but it doesn't work, and you kind of got to live with that. So, you know, it's tough to have to sit here and kind of talk about more of the same issues when they do cost you. This felt like a game, in my opinion, that they should have won. The Steelers' offense looked terrible for much of this game. I think the Ravens' offense, maybe on balance, would have looked better without the self-inflicted mistakes, but that's ultimately what'll get you. But, you know, they're 8-4. They were 2 yards away from winning this thing. I'm not going to totally freak out. What I'm more worried about is the offense, is the Marlon Humphrey interception, and I am sitting here wondering, and again, this is something that you would know better than me, but are we kind of getting to the end of the road here with Greg Roman?
I don't really think so, man. I mean, you can look at him as a scapeapegoat, but
that's more what I mean. I'm not saying it should happen. I'm not saying that's my take, but like it kind of feels like it might be scapegoat season, and they say, okay, let's try to turn the engine over here.
I could see it happening after the end of the season, or let's say if the Ravens were to go on to lose a couple more games. I don't think if they were sitting at 6-6, 5-7, probably right now, I think we see probably Roman gone. And again, that's what I said this past offseason. If they're sitting, around 2-3 games under 500 and the offense is struggling, then he's probably out of there. But at this point, unfortunately, we've seen this Ravens offense function not just in 2019 and not just at the end of 2020 and not just this earlier this year, function at a high level and able to line their ducks up, play efficient football, marry the run in the pass. Lamar has played good games. And can he be a scapegoat? Absolutely. If they fire him, I'm not, at this point, it's like, all right. I think there's some conversations to be had later in this episode about kind of where the Ravens are this year. And especially with Marlon Humphrey now going on, kind of how behind the barrel they are and things of that nature. But they've had both Wink Martindale and Greg Roman for a couple of years. And at this point, we're actively watching Lamar Jackson, who has missed time a lot this season, altogether, dating back. How many practices has Lamar Jackson missed this year through training camp and through the regular season?
It's a lot.
20? 22, 23 probably. I would guess somewhere between 17 and 23. And this just carousel of injury and return and injury and return. And I think that we're really underselling, which I watched this game as a Ravens fan. And I'll tell you what. I knew that the Pittsburgh, and I don't want to play the whole, I knew, I'm a genius, whatever. I knew, how many Ravens fans probably agree with me? You knew the Steelers were going to score a touchdown there. You knew it. You knew they were going to score a touchdown there at the end of the game. They drive down. Deontay Johnson, hits a little move. They run a little rub route the following play. And then to watch them go down the field and score a touchdown after that, after having a fucking shit show offensively, was really impressive to me.
Yeah.
And it's been impressive so many times this season where they've been in those situations, gotten it together, driven down the field, and put it in. And now we're living and dying by the sword. The two-point conversion makes conversations happen. If they kick the extra point and then in overtime they lose or they win or they got the two-point conversion, all different realities that could have transpired. And the one that we went down, it was kind of like two split arrows and four avenues in the road. And the one that we went down was they go for it and they don't get it on a play that we can discuss or whatever, but they don't. So there's this looming dark cloud that comes forth, the negativity, the woe is me, all of those things. But again, that drive to score that touchdown was kick ass, man. It really was. Lamar looked great. They first and 10, they get 5 yards. Second and 5, they have a fucking false start. They're probably, I think it was legitimately their 8th offensive pre-snap penalty of the game. Maybe it was like 5, whatever. They get that. Lamar then gets sacked and fumbles. The ball goes out of bounds. Villanueva gets called for holding. They decline it. 3rd and 14, he fucking rips one to Marquise Brown for 22 yards. 1st and 10, Devin Duvernay up the seam, 18 yards. 1st and 10, hits Sammy Watkins for 13 yards. Incompletion, Sammy Watkins for 5 yards, sits in the pocket when the Steelers expect him to run and fucking rips a laser to Sammy Watkins that could have tied or won the game. And then they have a play call that works. And to those who are going to have this whole thing, I guess we can get into it. It was a fucking bootleg. It was a boot with a split end hitting the flat. Have you ever watched any fucking football in your life? If you're one of the people who's like, why is TJ Watt unblocked? Have you ever watched a game of football? Do you know what a bootleg is? It was open. They missed. Lamar missed. Andrews missed. They missed. They missed. Someone missed. Someone missed. We can blame them. We can blame him. We can blame he, she, they, him, Southern son, daughter, mother, fucking father, got a Maserati dancing on the bridge, pee popping, all that stuff. That's just what happened. And I thought it was awesome to watch them drive down the field and score that touchdown. So to go back to what you asked, Greg Roman, you want to move on from him? Fine. It's fallen short. Ultimately, in the end, they haven't won a Super Bowl. But at the same time, if you want to go look at John Harbaugh overall and go look at Wink Martindale, I'd like to draw a parallel to John's brother, Jim, who last year has a team that goes 5-5, whatever they were, losing record, horrible year. And Michigan's athletic director has the wherewithal and the understanding of the reality in which the fucking world works to say, we win 9-10 games every year. Who's going to get better? Who am I going to get? Am I going to get Urban Meyer? Am I going to get Nick Saban? I'm in the top 1 or 2 percentile of guys that I could tie my wagon to, hitch my wagon to. I'm going to stick with him. They make a couple adjustments. Jim poaches a couple coaches off of his brother's coaching staff, McDonald, Weiss, a couple other guys. And guess what? They go beat Ohio State. They go win the Big Ten. And now they're in the college football playoffs. And they accomplished all the goals that everyone said they couldn't accomplish. So a little shakeup could happen. Absolutely. Both coordinators could be gone. One of them could be gone. I think that at least one of them will be gone after this year. If the Ravens lose the next 2 games and Lamar continues to suck, sure, fire Greg Roman, whatever. It's not the end of the world either way. So ultimately, they just have been so high, so low, so hot, so cold, and existed at the extreme all year long. And it's been disgustingly beautiful. It's been an anomaly. It's been entertaining to watch. Unfortunately, if you're a Ravens fan, you know, you want to go set, you want to go 20-0 and win the Super Bowl and all this stuff. But this season has just been entertainment value 10,000. And at the end of the day, they're, you know, they've been sword fighting with one arm tied behind their back, like Jamie Lannister this entire fucking time. And they have all these injuries and they're going to be second or third in the AFC right now. The Titans are in the same boat. Neither of those teams are going to win the Super Bowl. I don't think I'm breaking any news there. The Chiefs or the Bills or fucking the Patriots will probably win the AFC. But got to shake something up at some point. So that's just where we stand right now.
Yeah, I think you make good points there about the fact that it is incredible that this team is 8-4. I mean, we do have to kind of acknowledge that, I mean, even where they were before going into the season, but now we get to a point where they're losing guys that you wouldn't have even thought would be important going into the season. Patrick McCary at, you know, tackle is going to be out a couple weeks. That's really important. Marlon Humphrey obviously is very important and he's going to be out now. And it's tough. It has been very entertaining. It has been, there's something very redemptive about it that I enjoy. I love a good storyline. I love a good narrative, and I love me some John Harbaugh and some Lamar Jackson. So it's been really fun in that regard, and getting to 8-4 has been great. I do think people are maybe lying to themselves a little bit when they talk about, oh, well, you know, I'm just not expecting anything, like whatever, like this isn't a Super Bowl contender, X, Y, and Z. It's like, well, guys, if you're really this angry about it, you probably were expecting something. So let's be honest about that. And it's okay to be mad and X, Y, and Z. But ultimately, it does kind of feel like they're starting to hit a plateau. And luck, whatever, fortune, whatever you want to call it, winning close games, maybe that is evening out a little bit. But at 8-4 right now, I'm not really ready to throw in the towel. Some people, we got a mailbag we're going to get to. Some people asking about, is it even worth trying to win out the string? Do you just go for a better draft pick? And guys, like I'm telling you right now, it's just not going to happen with a Steve Bisciotti organization. Like, and if you do want an organization that does that, then there are a few on deck for you right now that you can, you know, go and check out. The Detroit Lions, you know, they're doing some interesting things right now.
Go watch the Giants. Go watch Washington football team. Go watch the 49ers.
Go watch the Cleveland. Go watch the Cleveland Browns, who did that, and then it looked like they were turning the corner, and then guess what? It's in their DNA to flop because that's what they did for 2 straight years. Like it's building a winning culture, building a consistently winning culture. I know it's easy to take for granted.
When was the last time the Packers won the Super Bowl?
Yeah, right. And I mean, like, and Packers fans, a lot of Packers fans are frustrated too. And like, I get it. I get that. Expectations and ambition, like the cousin of that is disappointment, and you're going to be disappointed more often than not. But ultimately, like the whole tank for a better draft pick thing, I remember people saying that in 2014 and they ended up winning a playoff game. Like, let's just relax with that
speaking
stuff.
Speaking of seasons that it feels like we're watching happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And like people, I tweeted that I've never seen anything like this injury wise. And like people are like, oh, well, 2015, 2007. It's like, well, I'm comparing it to a competitive team, guys. Like this team's probably going to be in the playoffs. So that's kind of what I was thinking more so. But yeah, it's just like they, and it goes to the 2-point thing. Like they just, it's in their DNA to go for it and to try and win and to try and put their best foot forward. And like, you know, technically it might make sense to get a better draft pick, but like that's just really not within the DNA of this organization. And it's my opinion that we're lucky that we root for a team that that feels that way.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's people who are sick and tired of that. And, you know, oh, well, every time they lose, you guys say that we're lucky and this and that. And all I want is greatness. Well, unfortunately, man, really the only team that's had sustained success over the last decade is whichever team rosters Tom Brady. And I guess you can say the Patriots, considering where they are right now, but they're not even to January yet. So I hear you. You want more. You want better. You want to shake things up. Things are probably – we'll probably see as big of a shakeup as we've seen since Lamar Jackson became the Ravens quarterback. I would anticipate this upcoming offseason. You hit on those things. Again, you know, I just don't think that the Titans or the Ravens are in the place to have the horses. And guess who's not beaten up? The Chiefs. Guess who's not beaten up? The Patriots. You know, there's a couple teams there. The Bengals are probably a better team than the Ravens from start to finish. The Chargers are probably a better team than the Ravens. And the Ravens beat them, so does that mean they're better? It's a matchup league, whatever. It's a whole other conversation. But they don't have it right now, and they could pull out of it. The year they won the Super Bowl, Ray Lewis is hurt, fucking blah, blah, blah. We've heard all that stuff before, but this isn't, you know, no two things are alike. No two snowflakes are the same. No two NFL seasons are the same. So here we are, apoplectic as we can possibly be, head between our legs, buried in the sand like ostriches, and they're 8-4. So enjoy yourself a little bit, half glass full, you know, twinkle in your eye here and there. We just watched a classic game, and guess what? The Steelers have to come back to Baltimore, and they're not that good, and neither are the Ravens. They're both, like, above average to good teams that have really great coaching staffs. Is that fucking surprising anyone? Lamar pissed down his leg a little bit, and then guess what? He dried it up and fucking dropped nuts on the table.
Neither of them, and you know what?
This was an awesome game that we just watched.
It was.
I'm sorry.
It was a classic game. It was a classic AFC North game, and, like, you know, defaulting back to that, I don't mean to sound cliche or anything, but it did. It put me in a little bit of a nostalgic place as we head into the holidays here, which is funny. But you know what? You lose that game, and, like, you watch both of those teams, and let me tell you guys, I am much more comfortable with the future of the losing team that I root for versus the team that won today, because they got some questions about their season as they move forward here. They're just above 500, and they have a quarterback who can't move and is going to be retiring after the season. So we're going to see what happens, and ultimately, like, the Steelers are probably going to figure it out, because they, guess what, are a good organization that doesn't do things like tank and, you know, kind of fire people at every turn, you know, kind of hook, line, and sinker, do whatever they have to do. They have a great coaching staff. They have good ownership, and they're just going to fight and fight and fight no matter what. And they showed it today. They bested the Ravens, and I don't think they're going to sweep the Ravens. I'll just say that. I think the other shoe is going to drop for them ultimately, and they're not going to be in the playoffs. But that's why
Kevin
the Pittsburgh
Costner
Steelers
had to pull the retirement card in order to beat the Ravens by one fucking
He did, and he 100% that's what he was doing. That's what old John Wayne was doing. He was pulling that little trick up his sleeve, and it worked for this time. But, you know, I just don't see it happening for them ultimately. I don't even think they're going to be in the playoffs. But if they are, like, you know, goddammit, tip your cap to Mike Tomlin. He's a damn good coach, and they're going to figure it out and be fine. But those are two of the better organizations in the NFL. They played a hell of a game tonight, and see what happens moving forward. But ultimately, I'm much more confident in the future of the Ravens than I am the Steelers right now.
Absolutely. And I don't know. It's not like you and I both have been watching this team for a long time, just as fans. We've been covering them in the sense that we have for this is, I mean, you did it, you know, I feel like a little bit loosely, a little probably 2016, 20, somewhere in there, you were kind of divvying it out. You and I together have been doing this pretty intensely for 3 years. When are we going to fucking stop crying when they lose, man? When? How many people that are on Twitter, how many people that are in the bar, how many people that are talking about it are just going to stop crying when they lose games?
Or just stop making these, like, massive statements about, like, oh, my God, like, the season's
over.
They
lost to the Steelers in a classic game in Pittsburgh in Ben Roethlisberger's last start.
Yeah, it's
You're
gonna, like,
I can remember this game for 20 fucking years.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like when it's just to me, it's like, when are we going to stop? Like, and this goes to, I think it goes to the making statements about Lamar after every game. It goes to making statements about, oh, Mark Andrews doesn't show up in big games when he makes a mistake. It's like, the NFL is so week to week. Every single game is different. The Steelers went to Cincinnati and got smoked a week ago. And then, you know, they pull one out against a team that is better than them tonight. So, I mean, it does happen. It's week to week. And it's like, if you want to have a more enjoyable time as a fan, try to accept that it is a week to week thing and try to keep your eyes on the bigger picture. and not in a negative sense where it's like, oh man, like the season's completely over. It's like, I get being emotional, but, and like maybe the fact that we do this makes us more analytical about it and we're able to kind of keep that sort of bigger picture in mind. Cause I do remember like times when before I was doing this, it was like, I maybe had the same kind of thought process, but I don't know. It's just, it's a long season. It's a longer season now. You really got to hunker down. And it's hard to believe that there's fucking 6 games left, right? Like, it feels like we've been doing this for months.
5, right?
5? Yeah, okay. 5 whatever games. It is. But it's hard to believe that. I mean, it feels like it's been an incredibly long season. Part of that goes into the close games that they've been playing. But yeah, it just, you know, keep the bigger picture in mind and try not to freak out. We're entering the holiday season. Try to have some cheer.
They are playing a Rams team coming up here in a couple weeks that had not won since October, despite having Jalen Ramsey, Von Miller, trading for Von Miller, Cooper Kupp, Matt Stafford, freaking, you know, the tour de force of superstars, especially defensively. And that team finally beat the Jags after losing to the Packers, getting drummed by the 49ers, getting drummed by the Titans. And, you know, they beat the Texans, who they let 22 points up to. The Lions scored not, like, again, it is a matchup league, is a week-to-week league. Guys get hurt. Guys miss one game. Guys miss 2 games. Guys miss seasons. All that stuff. And, yeah, you know, Troy T here in the comments. When are we going to stop crying when they lose? Never. That is the life of fans. That is why the players get paid all the money, because the fans get invested. Guess what? I'm invested as hell. But I'm watching this team year after year, and I realize they're not going to go 20-0.
They're also probably
– they're not going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they're also probably never going to win – like, not never, but, like, they're probably, if you just look at the odds, not going to win the Super Bowl. Like, if you don't accept that reality –
the best season they've ever had, the best team that they've probably – the best 2 teams they've probably fielded were the 2006 Ravens and the 2019 Ravens. Neither of those teams won the Super Bowl. The 2019 Ravens didn't even really get close.
2011. I mean, that was a – damn good team, and you're a missed kick.
That one did get close.
You're a drop pass and a missed kick. And I mean, you know, it happens. And like the odds are against them winning the Super Bowl, guys. And with the injuries they've had, like, just try to take it week to week. That's all we're saying. Like, you can still be passionate. You can still be pissed off after a loss. We're both pissed off. You know, we are. But you just gotta.
I'm really not that pissed off after watching that touchdown drive.
Well, it's just like
I'm
sack
really
up.
Not
and,
that pissed off.
Sack up and look forward. Like, shit happens. Losses happen, and they were 2 yards away from a win here. So if trying to make grandiose statements about it, let's also keep that in mind.
Every time there's changes need to be made. This, that, the other fucking thing. It's like, do you perform at your job? Do you perform at 100% capacity 5 days a week, 365 days a year? Do you have bad months? Do you have bad weeks? Do you have bad fucking years? Like, it's just,
are you saying it's not your week, your month, or even your year?
You know, Troy T said fans are invested. It's why it's so serious. I get all of that. Absolutely. But have some sort of ability to look back in the past and weigh that. And it's just unbelievable. Marcus Wilson with an interesting comment here. CBS puts it in perspective. This team is massively outperforming the sum of its parts. Far from perfect, but the fight they bring week to week is hard to be disappointed in. And the irony of that to me, when playing the Steelers and the Steelers win this game by 1 point and it's this fucking massive deal, is that whenever the Steelers have a kind of average fucking team like they do this year, it's like, well, you can never count them out because they are Mike Tomlin's team. It's the same thing with the Ravens, and they have a better record. They're doing better. They've played better than the Steelers have.
There's also a litany of Steelers fans that I know of that say fire Mike Tomlin all the time, and I just have no fucking idea what they're talking about. And I think that is a good point by Marcus Wilson, and it's something that, like, not to get into too much details here, but I've had some struggles in my professional life this year, as you know. And like, it's sometimes hard for me to, you know, strap in and go to work and have a good attitude every single day, but you figure it out. And like, part of that comes from, frankly, not to get too corny, but watching a team like this, like these guys have no fucking business being 8-4 and being where they are right now. But you look at that locker room speech by John Harbaugh after the Chiefs game, which I tweeted out after I also tweeted out the 4th down decision that won them that game, make no mistake about it. And that's the attitude that you want to have in life, in your work, in your personal life, and if you're a football player. And it works for them a lot of the time. It didn't work for them tonight, and that sucks. But goddamn it, this team gives me hope. And it's hard to feel that way right now necessarily, but I don't know. It's been a lot more good than bad, at least in my estimation.
It certainly has, despite the fact, yeah, it's just this defense turns it up. They get beaten, broken, and bruised. And something just popped into my head. Like, let's go back to the Cleveland Browns game last year in Cleveland. What is that, week 15, week 14 there, where it's essentially the same game, but the offenses were relentless instead of kind of defensively being able to do things. And the Ravens easily, you know, Tucker could have missed that field goal. It was a 56-yard kick outdoors, and he makes that field goal, you know, whatever. And the Ravens end up winning that game, making plays late, and it's like, all right, this team's serious. And if he missed the kick, then okay, it's over. They suck. They probably miss the playoffs if he misses that. So I don't know at this point. I just can't deal with the up and downs. Yeah, I love the listeners. I love everybody. I love, you know, engaging with people. We love to do it. But, man, you know, the Ravens watching them myself make me feel like I got to grab some handlebars and buckle in for the roller coaster. But the fan base is just like, at this point, just take it easy. That's all I have to say. Just, they're 8-4. Take it easy. They're not a fucking close to perfect team. They're a good team. They're a team that can finish games a lot of the time. And they're a good team. They're not a great team. They're not an elite team. But you can point to stats that you want. You can fit your bias. You can fit your conversation. Is it time to give up on Lamar? Should they fire Harbaugh? Should they fire the coordinators? Should they do this? Should they do this? Should they do this? Just remain steadfast, man. They can beat the Browns next week, who they just fucking smothered. And have no fucking weapons that really threaten them on the back end. And then they'll be 9-4. And they'll probably be one win away from the playoffs in a shitty AFC. So just take it easy. Take it easy. Have a sip. Have a smoke. A flapjack and a cigarette. No? Well, then there's no pleasing you.
Listener questions?
Let's do it.
First one comes from Kelly. What happened to Lamar spreading it around to wide receivers like early in the season? What has changed other than they are all healthy? I'm curious about this too, and it's something I wouldn't necessarily know the answer to. So I'm curious to get your perspective as to why, in particular, the last couple of weeks, it feels like it's Andrews or nothing, especially when the wide receivers, we've seen the potential they have.
Has to be a combination of several factors. One, like I said, Lamar's missed a lot of time. He gets really sick. He misses a bunch of practices. He misses a game. They're playing catch up. Number two, guys came back. Him and Bateman didn't have time in the offseason. Watkins and him didn't have a ton of time. Guess who also was out most of training camp? Marquise Brown. Guess who has not been out this entire time? Mark Andrews. Knock on freaking wood. The one guy who has been healthy, able to make plays, able to do some things. Ironically, he dropped the triple conversion. But it's Mark Andrews. That's his guy. And Lamar also, number two, has had an offensive line that he doesn't trust much. Whether you want to blame Eric DaCosta or Greg Roman or Lamar himself, pressure seems to be shaking him. Number three, he started trying to get the ball out quicker to mitigate that. He threw four interceptions trying to get the ball out quickly. They're just off. They haven't had a ton of time in practice. And at this point in the season, when they now have the, you know, A through Zeta players out, we look at these injury reports, and me and you talked about in the last episode, at this point, they don't want anyone practicing. If you're fucking banged up, don't get hurt, because we will lose if we keep losing players. Marlon Humphrey's out now, so that's like as devastating as a loss as it could probably be aside from Lamar on this entire team at this point. The three guys are probably Lamar, Mark Andrews, and Marlon Humphrey that are the most irreplaceable at this point. So I think that those compounding factors are together, and we see Lamar, who has regressed. It happened to him last year. We've kind of watched in the same way, the same story happened. The offensive line isn't trusted. But at the end of the day, again, he regressed. He had a first half against the fucking Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens-Pittsburgh Steelers rivalry. And then guess what he did? Lead a goddamn game-tying, game-winning, game-losing, whatever it was, drive. Took him down and scored. Threw up that pass he threw to Sammy Watkins. He couldn't have been calmer. It couldn't have been more accurate. It couldn't have been placed more perfectly. He couldn't have read it better. He couldn't have timed it better. It was a perfect fucking throw in the most crucial moment of that game. And guess what? We're pissed about the two-point conversion. What if he misses that throw by 2 feet? Then we're talking about that. So again, it's just reality versus, you know, what happened versus what didn't versus what could have been. So it's just what I'm going to keep going back to. And I thought, again, I took my shirt off. I took my jersey off, took my shirt off, and spiked it on the ground when he threw that touchdown. And I got goosebumps and was like, that was fucking awesome. I'm fucking pumped. And the fact that they didn't get the two-point conversion adds to the history of this rivalry. Unfortunately, they're on the losing end of it, but Lamar's regressed a little bit, same issues as last year, and they have to fight through it. It's hard because, like I said, you're not going out and having these full-fledged practices where everybody's running 100% and hitting and going through it, and everybody's, you know, all 60 guys on the team are all looking at Greg Roman and Wink Martindale. Sir, yes, sir, this is what we're going to do this week. Rah, rah, rah. No, they're trying not to get hurt. They're in the fucking trainer's room. They're talking about it. They're conceptually going through it. They're professionals. They're millionaires. They're pro athletes. They're going through it. So they have a lot of shortcomings. They have their handicap. They have a lot of disabilities. He's regressed a little bit, but again, made fucking plays with the game on the line. And then one didn't happen.
That's who he is. I mean, if this is 2017 Joe Flacco, like they get into like 3rd and 14 and he fumbles the game away, you know, on that drive. Like
Kirk Cousins just fucking lost to the Lions after throwing a touchdown,
which is absurd. I mean, and great and good for the Lions and Dan Campbell. That's a guy that I root for every week. But yeah, I agree that there is a human element in play that I think we do need to consider where he's, and I've talked about this even before this game, like missing practices, like it adds up after a while. Like you can miss one here and there, but he has missed so fucking many this year, and he's missed them for reasons where he's sick. And like I've mentioned this, I think I talked about it last week, that when I'm sick, I turn into a baby back bitch and I can't do anything. And like, he's definitely a stronger human being than me and able to push his way through this kind of stuff probably a little bit better. But it's hard, man, when you are playing maybe the most physical, the most intense sport on this planet, and you're sick all the time, and you're just you have a lack of clarity.
You're practicing outside in the cold.
Practicing in the cold on obviously a very shitty field, as we know. The Ravens practice facility, just one of the worst in the league. So that's really tough. And then you got to go out there and you have to, like, throw to guys who you don't have all this timing with. So to an extent, I think that's probably how I would explain, and maybe this isn't it, but that's probably how I would explain just defaulting to, here's this guy, big 6'5" athletic freak that I'm good friends with, that I've known for 4 years at this point, more so than any of these other guys or almost any of these other guys, and who has had my back and who has been there for me in tough moments. I can't blame him for defaulting to Mark Andrews. And you know what? God damn it, all the people that talk shit about Mark Andrews, he has shown up for them more often than not in the past calendar year. Against the Titans, 3rd and 9, they need to get something going. Yeah, in Nashville, they need to get something going in that playoff game. Who shows up? Mark Andrews. Nobody likes to talk about that. You know, in certain times of the season, he's making one-handed catches, blocking his ass off, doing everything. I fucking love Mark Andrews, and if you don't, like, you know, you got to get your head checked. Guy's a beast.
100%. And before we get to the next one, one thing I just want to slip in there, I could have made a lot of fucked up jokes, but whatever. But, I mean, the defensive pass interference on a fucking interception with, 2 minutes left in the game? Like, what if that?
They're going to call that, though.
That wasn't called that way?
I'm with you, but they're going to call that 100 times out of
100. No. That's fine. I'm not complaining about the call, but again, I'm just talking about what happened versus what could have been, and the fucking needle, the metronome that ticks back and forth. Certainly could have not been called. Was called, certainly could have been called. Patrick Queen catches that, the Ravens run the clock out, and the Ravens win the game. And guess what? Marlon Humphrey doesn't tear his pectoral muscle.
that's the tough one there. Keep it in your pants, refs. All right.
It's not even the refs. I'm just saying the amount of different things that could have happened that didn't, how close it was, how close it is. And that's why I think Ravens fans are frustrated, because, like, can't we just get a game where we blow out the Chargers or blow out the Broncos? Because that hasn't happened once this year.
Yeah, I'm totally with it. I wish for my cardiac health, I wish that were the case, but it just doesn't seem like that's going to be happening this year. Friend of the show, Skipjack, always bringing the positivity. How are the Ravens careening faster to the heat death of the universe than anyone else?
They beat the Browns last week in the same game.
I had to throw that in there. We're not really going to entertain it, but
the word careening there, and that was very,
I
wish it was in haiku. You should have made it in haiku, Skipjack. That's my only critique of that comment.
Well, maybe we'll, I think we have a question from, the haiku king of Orioles, meme Twitter, shit posting Orioles Twitter, my favorite thing in the world. And Skip, great friend of the show. So we had to get him in there. Jesse, another good friend of the show. Are the offensive line, and this is a good question, are the offensive line and running back injuries the reason for the lack of designed runs for Lamar? This stretch feels a lot like pre-bye week 2020, where Roman kept trying to get Ingram and the passing game going instead of using Lamar's legs. I'm curious about this because it does kind of feel like we're seeing a lot less of those. And I think my basic layman answer would be like, yeah, they just don't have the talent on the offensive line and the running game just kind of isn't there to supplement that. But I am curious to get your perspective.
So John Harbaugh said that the Ravens went for it because they knew Marlon Humphrey was out. And that was really the stamp of the decision, which was probably, 50-50-ish decision. Kick it, go for it. Marlon Humphrey's out. Oh, okay, stamp that. So let's look at this season. Let's look at all the injuries that have happened. Let's look at the fact that there's no Gus Edwards. There's no J.K. Dobbins. There's no Ronnie Stanley. There's no Marcus Peters. There's no blah and blah and blah and blah. This guy's injured. This guy's injured. This guy's injured. So do you want to take Lamar, who is going to run a lot, and they do call designed runs for it. They called a quarterback sweep, which got stuffed on third down. He twisted his ankle on the goddamn stick, which was just another reality, two avenues that could have happened. One more centimeter, and he fucking blows his ankle out, and then we're all really super suicidal. But do you want to run Lamar into the ground at this point after you just did it last year, then couldn't score in the playoffs, without any of those guys? Is it worth it? Or lean on the passing game, lean on Andrews and Hollywood and Bateman and Watkins and see if Lamar can't dig himself out of some holes and experience reps in the pass game and kind of get a little bit of a taste of what it might be like to be 30-year-old Lamar Jackson. So I think there's a lot more nuance and foresight involved in that particular topic than might meet the eye. Because is it worth it to have Lamar go lower his head into a safety and a fucking, outside linebacker at the sticks 20 extra times this year when you're, again, Jamie Lannister sword fighting without one of your hands? So I think that plays into it a lot.
Yeah, and like I think hinting at the fact that we have seen the potential of the passing offense, and it's been very good at times. So, I don't think it's totally out of the realm of reason to expect them to be able to execute in the passing offense. So I get it, but maybe at a certain point, like we keep mentioning, it's been a rough month. Maybe try something else to turn the engine over in a manner.
Jimmy Dean says, to add on to that, I think defenses are keying on the zone read and counter bash not there like last year.
Yeah.
Are you as scared of Freeman as you are of Dobbins and Edwards?
Yeah.
No. So you're keying on Lamar specifically in that. You're less afraid. J.K. Dobbins absolutely tore shit up on that counter bash on the backside and was freezing second-level defenders. Freeman played his ass off. I was fucking crazy impressed with him. I really have been this entire year.
I'm loving him.
He came out like a banshee, but again, he's still just not that. You're not that guy, pal. You're not J.K. Dobbins last year. So you're absolutely right. But there's just a little bit more to it.
Yeah, I'm loving Devontae Freeman. He is a guy who is just giving
110%. Ravens legend. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Ravens legend, Devontae Freeman.
He's going to be a guy that like people are going to look back and be like, damn, fucking Devontae Freeman. That season
he
was
has
awesome.
Exceeded Alex Collins on the Ravens like random legends.
He's approaching Forsett territory as far as random legends. And if he stays involved,
that is a fucking great call.
If he stays involved like Forsett has, he's going to be a fan favorite, I think. So love Devontae Freeman. Orioles haiku, not even upset about the loss now, just want my team healthy. And then he posted this meme of banana Lamar with cry on it, which I really liked. So that was nice.
That was a cute meme. I like that one. It is more cute. Of those, please. Ravens or Orioles haiku.
Yeah, he's been Ravens haiku in the past. I'm not sure why he's Orioles haiku right now, especially with the lockout going. And he's actually lockout haiku right now. Yeah, he's lockout haiku.
Lockout haiku.
Yeah.
We stand in solidarity with lockout haiku.
Yeah. Jonathan Evans, what's up with Lamar? For a QB who's been very turnover averse up until this year, he can't stop giving the ball away. So we've talked about the issues with Lamar specifically, but I am also curious about the turnovers because that was something that he really just didn't throw interceptions prior to the season. And now he has, 13? He's probably on pace to throw like 20 this year. That is quite a jump. So maybe it's probably just a function of forcing it to Andrews and kind of forcing it in the pass game when it's not there and trying to be Superman on every single play. But I'm not sure if you have any technical perspective on how that can be cleaned up.
We've gotten into that. I think it's just a mental warfare right now of indecision. And I called him, the girlfriend who can't pick where to go to eat, which is probably a little sexist, but
I was going to say, the guy can also
offer
something.
It's a significant other. It's a significant other.
Sure. Yeah, the guy can also offer something up to eat, too, if, like, the indecision is too much.
I'm the one in my relationship that's indecisive sometimes about where to eat. So it's the significant other who can't pick where to eat.
Okay.
So right now, he's just, you know, there's a lot going on. It's too fast. It's too slow. He throws picks. He takes sacks. On the other end of that, there's Kirk Cousins, who takes very few sacks, throws very few interceptions, but throws the ball away and gives up on plays all the fucking time. So those are kind of the polar ends of the spectrum right now. I may or may not have called Lamar Jackson turbo 2019 Jameis Winston earlier. And that's what he's doing, man. He's just playing super volatile, high risk, high reward, throwing the fucking ball up football right now. And it's like, I feel like we're watching him go through his hormonal teenage years as an NFL quarterback right now, as a player who's going to play in this league for quite some time. You know, Lamar will probably be in the NFL bare minimum to like 2027 or 2028 at the least, playing quarterback. So I feel like we're watching him go through a point where the run game's not there like it usually is. He's getting kind of fucking pissy and mad and angry and frustrated and raging with these quarterback teenage hormones of frustration when things go wrong and isn't quite sure how to calibrate it. And I don't know that there's going to be an answer this season, but I would just say the best thing he could probably do is start throwing the football away. Understanding he always talks about Tom Brady. One of the two best things that Tom Brady does, two of, like, you know, let's say on the Mount Rushmore of Tom Brady's best things he does, is throw the ball out of bounds over receivers' heads who are covered, and check into run calls. We don't have to talk about that. But he knows how to throw the ball away well. Lamar just needs to lose some more battles to win some more wars. Put plainly, there's a lot more to it. You know, he's had some issues. We could talk about technically where three times this year, teams have rotated from too high with a robber lurking down into the middle of the field, and he's thrown three interceptions that way, one to Tyrann Mathieu, one last week to Grant Delpit, and I'm missing the other one, but I recall it happening. We also saw it happen last year a couple times. Like, there's that. Maybe you should be, you know, adjusting your reads against those two high shells, things like that. But overall, I would say throw the fucking ball away.
Yeah, I got to agree with that. I think it's to your point about trying to win too many battles and not just being kind of willing to give those up. Which, again, I'd rather have a guy who's willing to go for it a little bit too much as opposed to not, but it is kind of putting them in tough spots right now.
It is. And I want to say one final thing that I had in my brain earlier quickly. Throw it away, because the amount of sacks that you have taken versus the amount of scrambles that you've succeeded on is completely fucking lopsided over the last month. You're a fantastic athlete. Defenses are playing to not get beat by that, and you're taking a lot of sacks because of it. So throw the fucking ball away.
For sure. One from Cody that we don't have to spend too much time on, but I do want to address. How can I ease my pain? How can I stop being so emotionally invested during games? I think I need football rehab. Well, and this is to the point about fans being very emotional and angry. I know we talked it down a little bit, but, you know, that's why you be a fan. That's why we watch. Feel the emotions. Ride the roller coaster. Buy a ticket. Take the ride.
I don't know, man. Am I numb? Like, the Bills game, that, like, the Titans game last year, like, those really get the dopamine and the whatever the opposite of dopamine is. Whatever, I don't know what bad dopamine is. I guess take the dopamine away, take the serotonin away in my brain.
Well, you want the serotonin because that stabilizes you.
The stakes aren't the fucking stakes aren't that high yet, even. They're 8-4, man.
Yeah.
Aren't even high. They could be 6-6, and guess where they would be? In the playoff hunt. And they're two games above that, leading their division, going into week 13? 14?
Who could say?
14, 15, 16, 17. Week 13. Cortisol. Yep. Cortisol. Yep.
Cortisone.
The cortisol and dopamine don't start flowing with me and flowing in my fucking body until it's 2018, week 17, 4th and 10, Baker Mayfield, CJ Mosley picks him off, or Lamar Jackson throws a pick six on the goal line down 10-3 against the Buffalo Bills in the divisional round. Put your big boy pants on.
I'm with it. But also,
put your big boy pants on. If you're a fan, put your big boy pants on. We're just getting started, man.
Listen, we are. But hey, whatever you're feeling, feel it. Just don't go too crazy on social media and don't freak out at us. That's all I ask.
Smoke a figurative or literal cigarette.
Yeah, or a marijuana cigarette. Ravens burner. That loss hurt, but do you think it was worth it? Because we got to peek into the Duvernay vault a little bit. You got to think it was worth it for that exact reason.
He gave us a little, just a tasty little morsel. Just a God, little. That was, and I made the call that we wouldn't see anything like that. They also had that counter off of the motion. Oh my God. That's where Devontae Freeman busted out that 18 yarder on, I think, the 99 yard touchdown drive. Just fuck with me, Greg. Let's fuck with Greg Roman, man. I love that dude. Even if he might be gone after the season, and I wouldn't cry about that. Like, okay, you know what, Joe Brady or some other, you know, different stylistic play caller, because, you know, they've kind of not been able to get over the hump. And again, I think we can see some shakeups happening in this coaching staff. But
Oklahoma's spot filled too by Brent Venables, so Joe Brady not going there.
Yeah, it was a little premature there. Venables has been in talks there for a while, so we'll see what happens with Joe Brady. Maybe Lincoln Riley is like, hey, you want to hang out and, you know, be pretty boys in LA over here and talk a little ball. We can hang with McVay a little bit. Maybe Peter Schrager will come out here. We can kick it. But
Peter Schrager is not hanging out with those guys. And I love me some Schrags, but he's not running in those circles, I don't think.
I'll say this. This is my and shout out to Nate Tice of The Athletic, who does a great job. Former NFL quarterback, CFL quarterback, D1 quarterback, does draft content, does everything.
Son of Mike Tice.
Great follow. If you follow me, I retweet him once a week at least. He put it well, and it made me think about it a little bit. And I think he was at a game today for the first time, he said, and he didn't see the full slate, but he goes back and watches that motion counter play that Freeman busted one on, and goes, it's just such a, he said something like, it's such a beautiful disgrace what the Ravens can do in the run game and then what happens in the pass game. And I started just kind of thinking about some things and some comments that I've heard over the last couple of weeks. And again, something that I've said quite a bit where everyone's like, why are you calling these routes? Why are you calling these routes? And we heard this past week, I think it was either Andrews or Roman talking about options. And maybe there's a little, I think there might be just a little bit too much freedom for receivers. And it kind of, you know, maybe I'm going against what I say about the Ravens defense, and Wink Martindale's the same thing. Like, they like to put a lot of the onus on the players to make smart decisions. And it might be a little bit too much freedom in the pass game with some of these options and guys ending up running too closely together and allowing one man to cover two people, things of that nature. But goddamn, man, Greg Roman gets me going. I love that man. He might be gone after this year. He might be gone next week. Who knows? But I've enjoyed his time here, to say the least.
He's best offensive coordinator in Ravens history, in my book.
There you go.
It's not even close.
Benny will immediately say, Jim Caldwell, 5-7 games, Jim Caldwell.
Oh, Gary Kubiak. Like, cool. One good season. I love me some Cougs too. Good guy, but, you know.
Kubiak's Mount Rushmore of Ravens OCs for sure.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's not, I don't even know if you can get four people on that, but yeah, he's on it.
Come on, man. Freaking get Matt Kavanaugh on there. Yeah, there we go.
Super Bowl winner Matt Kavanaugh.
We should mention him more. We don't mention him enough in general.
We don't. He's an interesting character. You should read Next Man Up if you want some good Matt Kavanaugh content. He's big in that. And I think he's still in the league, right? He was coordinating for WFT at least like 2 years ago, right?
Something like that.
Wild. Nikhil, he's the one who asked the tanking question, so we don't have to address that. But he followed up with a real one. What, if anything, are you excited to see from this team for the rest of the season? For me personally, I want to see, let's get a little balls to the wall with Rashad Bateman here and try to close the season out strong. Cause he's been quiet the last couple of weeks. I want to see him continue the pace that he was on prior to the last two and really show, his worth to this team. Cause I think it's there.
Certainly. I'm excited about Bateman. I'm excited about those outside linebackers. I know that they didn't have a, you know, incredibly stellar game rushing the passer with Big Ben, who, as I'm trying to look up next gen stats, but I'm sure got the ball out on average in 2.2 seconds like he always does. But I'm excited to watch them play and a lot of younger guys. And unfortunately, we're probably going to watch the Ravens could very well let up a 40 burger at some point without Marlon Humphrey, you know, playing some of these offenses, playing against Aaron Rodgers and things of that nature. But it's gonna be interesting to see Odafe Owe, Pat Queen, all the young guys continue to develop. And hey, I still think the Ravens are gonna play in a playoff game this year. They could certainly have an absolutely horrific stretch of games with who they play, and especially considering, you know, the Browns are coming off a bye and all that jazz, but there's a lot of fun to watch on this team. This team's still fun, man. I mean, again, just how fun was that final touchdown they scored before what happened, the next play, tons of fun.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think we can pretty much leave it there as far as the Twitter questions go. There were a couple more, but they were pretty redundant. So I don't know if we got anything in the YouTube comments you want to touch on.
Troy T, I know it's a little early for Christmas, but what one gift would you give the Ravens for holidays? And I think Marcus Wilson answered it perfectly. Jordan's secret stuff. Maybe a couple ACLs, maybe a couple extra ligaments and some knee cartilage and things of that nature. But I would just give them an astounding rout of the Steelers on January the 9th. That's what I would give them for Christmas.
Yeah, I would give them a W next week at Cleveland and a good offensive performance in said W to assuage some of the concerns here. That's all I want, and that's all I want for them. I think that would be great. But yeah,
Ravens and Steelers are going to come down. Sorry to cut you off. Ravens and Steelers are going to come down to that January 9th game, and I bet winner makes the playoffs.
Could be. Could be. You know what? You know what's looking big is that game in Cincinnati, who just lost today, by the way, to the Chargers, who the Ravens have a tiebreaker over. So, you know, this thing is far from over. I hate to break it to you guys, but you're going to have to.
The 8-4 football team is not dead.
Yeah, well, yeah. And your blood pressure is going to have to continue to suffer for it. Mine too. Anything else in the YouTube comments?
We can leave it there. We appreciate everybody chiming in and hanging out with us on this fine Sunday. It looks like there were quite a few in here at one point. So we appreciate you guys. Again, you know, this is nothing, man. They're 8-4. This game had no playoff implications. There's nothing to live or die for today. But Ben Roethlisberger does walk out of the final game in Pittsburgh against the Ravens with his six shooter on his hip, looks back over his shoulder, grins, tips his hat, and walks into the tunnel like the fucking cowboy that he is.
Oh, man. Just so poetic. I mean, I'm just, you know, it warms my heart. It's just like the cinematic nature of it all. It's just so, it's hard to really wrap my head around the fact that this guy, this old cowboy, just had a couple extra spurs that were jingling and jangling on his way to victory there. What a great victory for John Wayne, for Fig Jam Roethlisberger and the Steelers. Fuck me.
There it is. But guess what? They're going to come back, and it is it's time to put that baby to bed. And hopefully, I mean, I don't know if they're going to have to bring in Rashawn Melvin, Kyle Arrington, Will Davis, Sharice Wright, Sheldon Price, Asa Jackson, or any of those scumbags to come play the Steelers team in January. But good Lord, the Ravens can't catch a break. Marlon, we'll miss you, brother, the rest of the ride. Holy shit. I don't know how he stayed. I might have jinxed it a little bit. I don't know how. I did tweet this week and say I don't know how he has been so physical at his size for so long and continued to keep up with that today. And it fucking sucks. It feels like a part of the Ravens dies a little bit with him going out, especially how thin they are. He's the personality. He's the energy. He's a very talented football player. He's all pro Marlowe. And it's unfortunate. But, hey, Ravens sit at 8-4. Browns next week in Cleveland. Just strap those boots back up and get ready for another one, because I'm sure Baker's fucking algae eating off of Ben Roethlisberger's scumbag energy and is ready to come back and test the Ravens. So rest up, Baker. We'll see you soon, brother.
Yeah, that's and you know, I like Baker to an extent, but that's a little bit another little Rick Dalton syndrome there, a little Hollywood cowboy on the NBC lot. So, you know, that's, you know, I'm just already looking forward to that, and that's going to be a grind of a game no matter what. So put your big boy pants on, as he would say, and get ready for it.
Put your big boy pants on, strap in, a lot of football left. Ravens are handicapped, but they're fighting. It's exciting. Take it for face value. Take it for the entertainment value. They're not winning the Super Bowl this year, but they also don't suck. So it is what it is. Lamar, we can. That's what we can look forward to. We can look forward, going back to that last question to cap off here, the final sip, is that we can look forward to Lamar working out some of those demons and trying to build off of that final drive despite the final two-point conversion and get it done.
Yeah, and the Steelers got at Vikings, home to Titans, at Chiefs, home to Browns, at Ravens. Final stretch here.
There we go.
So old John Wayne better load that Winchester up and get ready. Thank you guys for listening this evening. I know it was probably difficult for a lot of you to tune in. I know it's annoying for me sometimes when my team suffers a big loss to listen to pods, but for me, this wasn't really that big of a loss, as we have hinted at. So, you know, hope you guys had fun with it, and hope you're looking forward to next week. Do we have to talk about ZooBoot before we get out of here?
Let's talk about ZooBoot again. If you're looking for some of those nice stocking stuffers to get, or you notice that your old man or your sister or your brother or your son or your mother or your father has a beat up wallet, or they're looking for something that's compact that can take care of their cards and customize it a little bit. You want to put a little flower imagery on there. You want to put an American flag. You want to put Lamar Jackson's shining face on there. If you want to put Jake and Spencer's beautiful mugs, you can do whatever you want. You can fully customize these RFID wallets. They're compact. They are aluminum. They have a nice finger slip. They have a money clip, so you can kind of clip it right into your pocket as well, so you really know where that sucker is. Customizable. You can use the code PODCASTBEATDOWN. Again, that's PODCASTBEATDOWN for 15% off of your order. You can get the Baltimore Beatdown Podcast official ZooBoot wallet or on any wallet there. It does not have to be ours to use that code PODCASTBEATDOWN for 15% off. They've got some holiday sales going on. A nice little gift to bring you or your loved one's wallet game into the 21st century and get something new and shiny that has some usefulness to it that you'll use in everyday life. So thank you so much to ZooBoot. We freaking love our wallets. I use mine every day. And we haven't done a ton of ads here ourselves, but we're not going and looking to go get freaking, you know, Legos to step on as a sponsor. We only want stuff that we like and use. So ZooBoot, go get them. Podcast Beatdown for 15% off.
Absolutely do that. Absolutely have yourself a tremendous start to your week here, guys. We'll talk to you again on Thursday. In the meantime, follow us on social media. You can get at us on Twitter at Podcast Beatdown. I am at Jake Luke. That is LOUQUE. Spencer is at Ravens 4 Dummies. That's the number 4 in the middle there. Thank you guys for tuning in, engaging. Again, tough game, but they'll get at it next week, and we'll see what happens. We'll have some fun with it, and goddammit, it's going to be a fun ride. 8-4, strap in. Let's do it, and we'll talk to you later.
See ya.
Arrivederci.
Gourlami. Gourlami. Arrivederci.
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 Arrivederci. Arrivederci.